SMQB's episode 161, special guest appearance from the Moose Jaw.
What is your
They're not booing.
Are they saying boo or moose?
They're saying moose.
Happy Passover to everyone celebrating. Let's jump into it. We got an aggressive schedule tonight, and we're going to start off, Moose, with you. Who are you sitting down at the bar and having a drink with?
There's only one person. The greatest hockey player of my generation, Bobby Orr. That's it. That is
wow.
It.
Wow.
Coming in hot on the guest take. All right. Rooster, Bobby, what do you got?
I think I'm going to go with the man behind me, Mel Kiper. And ask him, number one, how come he doesn't drink or ever leave his house? And number two, who he thinks the Giants ought to take with the sixth pick.
You're going to rely on him?
He's the man. He knows what he's talking about.
Pope, wow. What about you?
One Jerry Jones.
You're going to rely on him?
Time to find out what he's thinking. No, I'm not relying on him. I just want to know what the fuck he's thinking.
Okay. He's not.
That's the problem.
He's thinking about glory holes, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh. Certainly a possibility.
Okay. Wow.
Bilk, what about you?
I'm going to go with John Cooper, head coach of my Tampa Bay Lightning, and ask him why the fuck Kucherov was not more involved in the game and didn't have a shot on goal until like 25 seconds left. Because that's not how you win a NHL playoff game.
You can always find Cooper at the bar.
He will be at the bar. He will.
I can answer the question.
I can't wait to hear your.
Because he's a chicken shit Russian.
Here we go.
Wow.
He is coming in hot.
There we go.
Easy with the Russian hockey hate. Okay.
You've insulted Nace.
I mean, you've already talked about Ukraine.
This one is ode to bison. You guys know who Mondo Duplantis is?
No, it must be a runner.
Must be a runner.
I got an announcement to make. I'm starting a new sport. Mondo Duplantis broke the men's pole vault record, world record, for the eighth time at 6.24 meters. And so I'd like to have a drink with Mondo just to get a few tips on how I can feel a little taller in life.
Yeah.
Use a pole.
All right.
I'm bringing Nelly Korda, who won her fifth straight LPGA tournament, and with a 3-under 69 in the final round, her second major. So it's Nancy Lopez, Annika Sorenstam, and Nelly Korda who have won five in a row on the LPGA. So cheers to her.
Probably more viewership too. No one watches the PGA Tour anymore, apparently. So
yeah, that's right. So all right, let's get into it. It's NHL playoff time, and as far as I'm concerned, the playoffs will start tomorrow. Any game that's happened before today doesn't count. But Moose, straight in from Canada, talk to us about the playoffs. What we should be looking for. What we should be excited about. What's going on?
Let's start with fuck the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game one performance was so horrible. And there's rumors going around the city right now that Willie Nylander, who has not missed a game since like 2017 or 2016, sits out game one because of an undisclosed injury suffered in the last game against Tampa. There are rumors that Sheldon Keefe benched him because he fucked the dog on game 82. And if that's true, holy crap.
Wow.
So anyway,
language.
I know, but the anger,
Canadian.
The anger in Toronto is pretty high right now. So I'm not expecting at least to put up much of a fight. If they do, great. I'll be behind them. But anyways, let's get to some of
the. Is that a Canadian phrase for something other than bestiality?
What kind of dog is that? That's what I want to know.
What does that mean? I think our listeners want to know more.
By the way, I've never heard that before.
Is this Canadian language? It's Canadian.
And milk's gotten around.
I've definitely gotten around.
I've been to Canada a bunch. Never heard that.
Fucking the dog.
Miller, you sound like a very depressed Toronto fan, which is so normal for NHL playoff time.
Well, it's just it is, except last year when we beat Tampa.
You did. You got through the first round.
I digress. Anyways, let's get to Tampa, Florida, which I think is a great series. It's going to go to seven games, I think. And to be honest, it's going to be whoever has the healthiest people left in that series, because the hitting that went on in game one, they were over 100 hits midway through the third period yesterday. That's going to be just a series of attrition. Whoever's healthiest is going to win that series. And it's a toss. Florida might get a slight advantage because of home ice, but it's ever so slight. So there is still hope for you, Mel.
They played like shit. The Lightning couldn't have played any worse.
They could have won,
but they've got to get Braden Point and Kucherov more involved.
Listen, you're 14, 15 minutes into the first period of game one NHL playoffs, and you don't have a shot. That was shocking.
It couldn't have played worse.
Now, so. Rangers Caps.
Oh,
Bison, I'm going to tell you right now, if the Caps lose in game six, it's a successful season. All right. Because they've got no shot.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, although, other than a 3-minute spurt yesterday,
it was a weird game. The goaltending of the Rangers is so superior. And if OV can't get at least one shot on net, they've got no shot. Carolina and the Islanders. I would not be shocked to see the Islanders upset Carolina. Carolina's a better team, but I think the Islanders have better goaltending. Las Vegas and Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, Pope? You can't bet against the Stanley Cup champs. And they have figured out a way to get around the salary cap and get all these guys healthy just in time for the playoffs, because if it was the regular season, they'd be about $20 million over the cap. But they're not, because they acquire all these guys while guys are on injury reserve. And suddenly they're all back for the playoffs. So I got to go with Dallas in that one. Winnipeg and Colorado.
Wait, you're going with Dallas? Sound like you're going with Vegas, but you're going with Dallas.
Vegas. I apologize. Winnipeg, Colorado. If you go back in time, this is a matchup of WHA teams. This is Quebec and Winnipeg. And that's how we view it in Canada. And, you know, 7-6 last night was crazy. I didn't see any of the game, but 7-6 in game one was shocking. But I think Winnipeg is going to win that series. I think Nashville is going to beat Vancouver. Nashville has been the hottest team in the NHL for the last 2 months. And Vancouver has been about 500, though they did win last night. Edmonton's going to beat LA in about 5 games. And then, you know, I'm not going to run through the whole playoffs for you guys because that's just stupid. I think it's going to be the Oilers and Boston in the finals. I think Connor McDavid, if Edmonton makes it to the finals, will be the Conn Smythe winner. And I think Edmonton wins the cup this year.
Whoa.
I believe I predicted them at the beginning of the season, and then they started off like
2-16. I think you picked the Avs and the Lightning.
No, the Avs was 2 years ago.
I think that may be true.
Yeah, I think you did pick Edmonton.
Who are they going to be in the finals, though? Edmonton versus who and Boston versus who?
Oh, in the conference finals?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know who would play who, but I would say I'm going to go Edmonton and Winnipeg in the conference finals and Boston and Carolina in the conference
finals. All Canadian conference finals.
It would be incredible to have two Canadian teams there.
It would be great. It would be great.
Not going to happen.
No Vegas.
No. But can I tell you, as far as Canadian teams go, like, I hear that people, like, I don't give a shit if a Canadian team wins. If Toronto's out, I don't want another Canadian team winning. No, I don't want a Canadian
team. That is a lie.
That's the meanest thing a Canadian can say. I thought Canadians were so much nicer. I thought you'd be rooting for the national, like, you know, the national interest.
No.
That's something Christians do, where we root out a spot.
Well, actually, during the Boston Leaf game the other night, it's like 3-1. And suddenly the Boston fans just start cheering, USA, USA. I was like, what's that? I thought that was special.
That's on brand.
You did predict Edmonton to begin the season. And the thing that you said, if I remember right, was at the time, I don't think they started the season with a good goaltender. Did they change their goaltender, or what's the story with their
goaltending?
Because obviously you need that for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, their goaltending is much better than was at the beginning of the season. They had Soup Campbell and Stuart Skinner. Campbell's now down the minors. Pickford is up. He's played very well. Skinner's been much better. That is their Achilles heel. Like, if they can get, they don't need awesome goaltending. They need good goaltending, where every other team needs awesome goaltending. I think Connor McDavid's that much better than anyone else in the league that he can control a game, even in the playoffs. And I will stick with Edmonton winning the cup this year. And listen, I hope they do, not because they're Canadian, but I'm a big Connor McDavid fan. I think he's a talent that we've never seen before. Very different than Gretzky and Crosby and others. So I'm going with Edmonton. I'm sticking with Edmonton, and I'm sure I'll be wrong.
That you fit in well on the pod.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Anybody have anything else on hockey? I mean,
did you say anything about the Rangers?
Yeah, I said they're going to beat the Caps with no problem, but, you know, I don't see them. I'm not a big Ranger fan. I don't like the construct of their team. I think they've got great goaltending, but I'm not a big fan of the way the team is built.
So you've got the winning team in both conferences regular season. You got them out fairly early in the playoffs, sounds like.
Yeah.
Dallas out round one, Rangers maybe round two.
Yeah, yeah. And he was right about that last year with the
Bruins.
And historically, the team that wins the President's Trophy usually is out in the first or second round. They rarely go on to win.
Yeah, that is something I'm very familiar with in hockey.
Yeah. Now, listen, the whole thing about the NHL playoffs, unlike a lot of other sports, it really is the health of the team during the playoff run. You know, guys play with such crazy injuries that you just never know, and they don't disclose them. I mean, upper body can mean anything, lower body can mean anything. And really, it is who's going to be the healthiest. Once they get, you know, if you got to win 16 games, you got to play 30. That's a lot. And that's a lot of wear and tear in the body.
It would be kind of fun to see Winnipeg, Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals, and Boston and New York in the Eastern Conference.
How do you think the ratings would be on TNT? Tilted towards the East?
You think a little bit? Yeah.
God, that sounds awful. Winnipeg, Edmonton? Jesus. Miller, you didn't make a call on the Lightning, Florida. You said it'd go seven games, but
I've got Florida coming out, I'll tell you.
I said,
toss up, I give them the slight edge because of home ice. That was it. I mean, I do like it when Tampa loses in any sport because
I'm sure you did.
But you've won enough.
All right.
Time to put that franchise dynasty to bed. Could Florida just sweep them 4-0, get it over with?
I don't think that's happening.
We'll see.
Put them out.
Thanks for joining us on this, Moose.
My goodness.
Good one, Moose Joe. All right. Anybody else on hockey? Anybody got anything else? No? Nothing?
We got another 3 months of hockey. We can talk about it later.
I know.
No John Tortorella questions?
He'll be back.
He's going to win the Flyers series.
Okay. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays or something.
Okay, so we're going to move to the NFL draft then. Moose, the NFL is a football league where it's an oblong shaped ball. There's 11 guys per side and they try and get touchdowns. That's what football is.
Wait.
Pick the ball through the H shape.
No. See, now understand that the Canadian Football League is older and I'm familiar with three downs and 110 yard field. Please educate me on this NFL you speak of.
Yeah. Well, it's the one that everybody watches. So we got the draft this week. And that raises the question that before we even start talking players and teams and all that, listen, guys, Milk, if you're a GM, are you going best available or are you taking need? What are you doing here? What's the plan as a GM?
I don't know if it's a black or white question. Like it kind of depends on a couple things. A, obviously where you're drafting and what you did the previous year. Like, I think we all agree that Marvin Harrison, and maybe I'm not, maybe I'm out on an island here, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. might be the best player in the draft this year. Okay. But that doesn't mean that the Bears, Commanders, or Patriots are going to pick him, nor should they, because all three of them are terrible teams without quarterbacks. So you've got to fill the need if you need a quarterback and you're drafting in the top spot. But after that, I think you always go with best available. Like, maybe if you literally the year before picked the best safety and that's who's up on your board when it comes to you, you go with someone else. But like, the reason I say this happened to the Bucks, you know, a number of years ago. We were terrible, right? And we had the 7th pick in the draft. And you could have said we needed everything, right? Like quarterback, offensive line. I mean, we needed a lot of things. But the best available player at the 7th pick was Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is still on our team 10 years later. He's made every Pro Bowl almost that there is. He gets 1,000 yards every year. He's going to end his career as a Buck. And he's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. And it's like, when you have guys like that, I don't care if you need a right tackle. You draft Mike Evans. Like, just do it and make it work, and it'll pay off. And he will be on your team a decade later when all of these other picks that you have after him and before him are way gone. So, I don't know. I'm a big best available player. You take them. I don't care where they play. You make it work. You put them in wherever you can. Unless you're like top three and you have to have a quarterback or you know, you're the Bears and you literally don't have anyone under center.
Alf, what do you think?
So I'm always a best available guy. I think the teams that have succeeded, I get that if there is a generational quarterback and we think that Caleb Williams is maybe that. I mean, look, obviously the Bears not only are going for need, they created the need by trading a guy that they had just had as the top guy a couple years ago in Justin Fields. You know, they've created a need because of how sensational Caleb Williams' college career was and how much he closely compares to a guy who's already won 3 or 4 Super Bowls, I guess 3 now, in Mahomes. That said, if it's not a generational player, I absolutely agree with Milk. You take the guy who's best available, and you know, while there's not a lot of trading in the NFL between free agency, it's a fluid league. Teams have changed over a lot of their teams and made it right back to the playoffs. It's not something where you're buried. Most teams aren't buried for 8-10 years, unless like you're the Jets or the Browns or something like that. You can turn it around pretty quick. And I just think, you know, there are players who we're not going to hear of as household names when we listen to that draft board this week, but smart GMs will be taking them because they are the best available player. Their tape shows that against top competition, SEC, Big Ten competition, they dominate. That's my measuring stick.
So, let me ask you this. You've said in the past you think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is best available. Are you saying that the Bears should take him, or are you saying they should take Caleb because he's a generational quarterback and that's the exception?
I do think the Bears should take Caleb Williams because he's an exception, but I've said to Bison a number of times, I think the, and we'll get into this, I think the Commanders are making a mistake when they take Drake May or what's his face, Jaden Daniel at two. I personally would take Marvin Harrison Jr. at two. I think you can get a quarterback that's comparable. I don't want to take Bison's thunder because I know he's going to talk about quarterbacks. I think the drop off is so steep that the best available player after Caleb Williams is Marvin Harrison. So if I'm the GM of the Washington Commanders, my philosophy is I'm taking him at two. People made this mistake, by the way, namely the Philadelphia Eagles, when they got cute about the whole Justin Jefferson thing. And they thought, well, Jalen Reagor had special speed, blah, blah, blah. Don't make it so stupid. Justin Jefferson clearly playing against SEC talent with Joe Burrow as quarterback was sensational, sensational wide receiver. Right, there's no question. Take him. The same
That's
thing
why you
Harrison.
Don't take Drake May at two.
Exactly.
I've seen
what's he really played against?
I've seen some people put Drake May ahead of Caleb lately on draft boards.
You got to sit him for at least for a year, don't you?
What do you mean? What'd you say?
I mean, from what I'm hearing, whoever drafts him really should sit him for a year because he's got terrible footwork and decision-making issues, and he just hasn't played a whole lot, whereas Jaden Daniels has played a ton, and they've seen everything they need to see out of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we will get into the quarterbacks quickly here, but you know, I think the difference between May and Daniels, you could debate all day long. I mean, I just don't know nobody in the NFL knows how to separate the two of them at this point. People are going to do the best they can, but I just don't see how you can be Washington at number two and not take a quarterback. I mean, you have to take a quarterback. I mean, regardless of Marvin Harrison, I don't think, you know, we haven't had a quarterback, a franchise quarterback in 20 years. I don't even know the last time. I mean, you know, RG3 looked like it until he was injured and couldn't move anymore.
Right.
But, you know, you got to have a franchise quarterback. You just got to have that player. And you got to keep drafting until you get one. So, yeah, it could they make the wrong choice between Drake May and Jaden Daniels? Sure, they could. It's about a 40% success rate when you pick a quarterback in the first round. So they could definitely make a mistake. It doesn't make them bad GMs or bad decision makers. Nobody's figured out how to identify which of these guys could be better. But I just don't see any way to not take a quarterback with the number two pick when you haven't had that guy for 20 years.
So Bison, Washington did have, and they did draft, a quarterback, franchise quarterback named Kirk Cousins, and they just didn't keep him.
Well, that's true.
And he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah. Well, they kept him for a fair amount of time.
Well, I mean, that was that old regime that didn't know what the hell they were doing. I mean, that's true. I mean, that's a fair point, but you know, I don't know. I just don't see how you can have the second pick in the draft and be Washington and not take a quarterback.
Well, here's the problem. Zach Wilson. And how many other quarterbacks who have been drafting the top?
Well, everyone that year. Everyone from that draft class.
But historically, there is no predicting these quarterbacks. That's the problem.
Right.
So that's where you got to go to like how sure you are versus.
You're right. But the other flip stat on that is the flip stat to that is the quarterbacks who win Super Bowls are like always first round draft pick quarterbacks with rare exception. With rare exception, the guys who are franchise quarterbacks are first round picks.
Right. But if you look
there
at
there are exceptions, but you know, most you of the guys who
like Tom Brady?
But you look at the year Mahomes
That'd be the
drafted,
exception.
The year Mahomes was drafted, when Kansas City drafted Mahomes, people were so upset they didn't take Trubisky because all the talk was about Mitch Trubisky that year. That's what I mean. Like, there is so much hype that goes in close to the draft that it just skews everything. It just skews it all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of these players. You know, and obviously with the quarterbacks, I mean, I think we've talked a little bit about the top three, Caleb, of course, and Jaden Daniels, Drake May, you know, JJ McCarthy's probably, the fourth guy there. I know Hal's.
Why do we not have a problem with that?
With what?
With JJ McCarthy being up that high? I think that's one of the biggest questions of the draft. Is he legit going to be picked that high, or is he going to slip?
He's the pick
I think he's going to be picked pretty high.
Vikings are going to trade up. And
I think the Vikings or the Giants. The Giants could pick one of them too.
No effing way the Giants are taking him. No way.
He's, to Bison's point, you know, he's just a guy. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's like the next coming of whatever first round quarterback that some people think.
Brady bias. I agree Brady bias.
Completely with you, Pope.
Thank you, Milk.
This is where need and, you know, best available player is going to come into play, and somebody's going to screw this up, and it's probably going to be Minnesota because they're going to take J.J. McCarthy when they're going to have like a Malik Nabers or somebody like that available. Now I know they have.
You want to know something that I think is a beautiful thing that could happen? Minnesota does that. So now the Cardinals are out of the fourth pick. And with the fifth pick, the Chargers are making a lot of noise about taking an offensive lineman. So now the Giants have the opportunity to maybe pick between Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison.
Wait. Time out. You're telling me you think the Vikings are going to move up to four with the Cardinals to get J.J. McCarthy?
A lot of people are saying that. I'm not making that up. I'm repeating what I'm hearing a lot of analysts say.
12-inch letters, not going to happen.
Okay.
Are you with me, Milk, on that? McCarthy.
They shouldn't do that. They should not do that.
It's not Brady, the hype. It's Brock Purdy. That's the hype. That's where
Mr. Irrelevant?
Mr. Irrelevant, who played in the Super Bowl last year.
Okay, but Mr.
Right, so then why are we trading up for J.J. McCarthy? We get a Mr. Irrelevant.
No, Mr. Irrelevant actually had like a career where he was passing and had some accomplishments and set some records on his arm throwing capability at Iowa State. J.J. McCarthy, we know so little bit about his. We know that he's a leader, you know. We know that they won the national championship, but we don't know a lot about his passing capability. Lucky.
Should have lost to Alabama. He fucking lucky.
Oh, okay.
What his advocates say is there's for you know, if you want to look at film on Jaden Daniels, you can look at 200 throws that he makes in certain situations. If you find the throws that McCarthy makes, you're looking at 40 plays, but he's making those throws just as well. Yeah. That's what they're saying. I'm with Pope and Milk. I don't buy it. I think that if this guy was as good as Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or even Penix, then they wouldn't have run the ball as much as they did. They would have found a reason to throw the ball. But that's not what the proponents of J.J. McCarthy are saying. They're saying, look at the film. He makes all those throws. They just chose not to throw.
Right. That's a risky pick based on chose not to throw.
I totally agree with you and Milk.
Well,
the Chargers.
I think he's a second round pick myself.
I don't love his height. I mean, this was a Sam Howell thing too. 6'2". I don't know. I mean, I think you want to be a little bigger in the NFL. But the one guy who I know House is dying for us to talk about right now. He just can't control himself. He's just ready to explode if we don't.
I'm going to explode. I'm going to explode. Oh, got it. Who are we exploding about?
Is this Tulane's quarterback?
Michael Pratt. Both right. of them are exploding. Oh, no. Oh. Keep your eyes on the road.
Who wants to go to the road?
I'm going to have to pull over.
Who wants to go to the Super Bowl? Now we're talking. By the way, Michael Pratt's better than J.J. McCarthy. Write it down. Write it down.
You think he has the arm? I don't think he has the arm strength.
How do you spell Pratt?
He doesn't have the arm.
He does not have the arm strength of that. That is what's going to keep in third fourth round. He's not the arm. He has wisdom, intelligence, craftiness. He knows how to use his legs. You know what? Honestly, again, Tom Brady, you know, he's not my favorite guy. What he was coming out of the draft was not on arm strength. And that's what dropped him down. I'm not comparing my
six round pick. Let me be clear.
That's what I'm saying. Michael Pratt is going to be picked too low for what his abilities are. He is not Tom Brady, but he is going to bring to a team moxie. Once that guy, you're going to see, he's going to get some time during preseason when, you know, they don't play the starters. And people are going to be like, who's this Michael Pratt guy? He's actually making some really, really impressive throws.
He sounds with someone with the upside of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know who you just described? You just described Taylor Heineke.
Well, I don't know.
Crafty guy, knows how to use his legs, doesn't have the arm to make all the throws. I mean, you just described Taylor Heineke.
There's one quarterback who beat Caleb Williams in a bowl game that's going to be drafted Thursday night, and that was Michael Pratt in the Cotton Bowl.
All right, so we can't
watch the film on that.
All right, we can't just talk quarterbacks, but I am going to give you one name of a quarterback who could be a sleeper pick and have a pretty good NFL career. And it's not Michael Penix. It's not Bo Nix. But keep an eye on Spencer Rattler in his career.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying he's got a lot of physical talent.
Perennial bench warmer.
Maybe. But I'm telling you, he wouldn't be a sleeper if you expected him to be a superstar. Okay, that was the whole point of the sleeper pick. But
I thought you were going to say Rattler. Jordan Travis.
Well, I think Travis is too small. 6'1", 200 pounds. I don't like that. But Rattler, I don't know. Just don't be shocked. He could be the quarterback who's the surprise out of this draft. So
I will be shocked.
We got to move on. Milk, talk some wide receivers.
Well, look, we all know about Marvin Harrison. I think everyone agrees that he's going to Arizona, right? I mean,
no.
Well, no. Except for those who think that Minnesota is going to trade up and draft McCarthy at 4.
Okay. If that doesn't happen, Arizona, it's a good fit. It will help Kyler Murray. I think, but honestly, to the Minnesota decision, if LA moves out of that position and doesn't take either Harrison or Neighbors, that is the biggest fuck up in the history of the NFL draft. They do not have a wide receiver right now. I think their starting wide receivers are Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Right now. They have to take a wide receiver at number 5, but we'll see what they do. And by the way, it's freaking Harbaugh now. So who knows? Maybe he'll trade up to get JJ.
So you've got Adunze as your third wide receiver.
I've got Adunze as the third. And I think, honestly, you know who could really... I think the Bears could kick it. I think they could get him at 9.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
They could be.
And I think he is 1B. Pick. It's 1A and 1B. It's Neighbors and Harrison. And arguably, you might have Adunze ahead of Neighbors.
Yeah,
he had most 1,640 yards flipped. Receiving. 1,640 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns this year. And by the way, Penix, you know, he's great, but he didn't have, you know, LSU's quarterback. So I've got him at 3. Then I think it starts to drop off a little bit. Brian Thomas
LSU. Is up there.
Texas's wide receivers are okay. If the Chargers drop back, maybe they could look at one of them. I think Jacksonville, Ridley's gone now at Jacksonville, right?
Yep. He's on the Titans.
Right. So they need a maybe a Brian Thomas when it falls to them. The Chiefs absolutely have to draft a wide receiver. We don't know what's going on with Rice, if he'll even be on the team next year. I don't know. Look for maybe I like Keon. I hate to say this, but a lot of people don't know him. Keon Coleman for Florida State.
Amazing.
Massive individual. He's like 6'5". I hate him. He just absolutely abused Florida for like several years. He slowed down at the end of the year, but mainly that was due to Jordan Travis's injury. I think he could be a good fit if he goes low to the Chiefs. A lot of people are talking about Xavier Leggett for South Carolina. I watched him play this year. He schooled the Gators as well. A lot of people school the Gators, but he had like 1,300 yards receiving. I don't know if you remember him, Pope. But he had a good year with Rattler throwing him the ball. I'd say a kind of a look out for is Malachi Corley for Western Kentucky, who had 101 receptions in 2022 and 11 TDs last year and like 80 receptions. Totally under the gun. Everyone's going to love him, especially the Eagles if they get him. Ricky Pearsall for the Gators.
Let's go.
Totally underrated. Draft this guy.
Best route runner out there, isn't he?
He is a unbelievable route runner. I really am afraid the Saints are going to take him.
The Eagles pick someone because they got to dump AJ Brown after he shit all over Philadelphia and insulted those
again.
Fragile egos of the Philly fans. So,
Milk, you mentioned the Texas receivers, but specifically, I think the new reek potentially is Xavier Worthy, the guy who set the 40, speed record for the combine. I mean, I think if you get him the ball, if Mahomes can get him the ball and let him run, he's another reek. He'd be great down for that pick.
But there are other – who's their other wide receiver on Texas?
Adonai Mitchell
also ran just a hair slower than that and is a better receiver.
He may be gone higher. That's my point. I think.
Oh, okay. Who won't be gone higher, who is going to be available at the end of the first round, is Ladd McConkey. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs took him because they already have Hollywood Brown now. In free agency, so they need a Thielen kind of guy.
McConkey is a great route runner.
Yeah,
that goes to the whole Chargers thing because if the Chargers are going to draft a wide receiver, do they draft out of five? Because you could probably go down and still get Worthy or Mitchell.
Yep.
So we'll see what Harbaugh does there.
Herbert was getting his ass kicked all last year. Because their line is like Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one of the big questions is when do the non-skill player, when do we see a non-skill player go?
When you have a franchise quarterback who's playing with broken ribs all the time because his offensive line can't stop anyone.
But the Chargers could drop down and get attack.
Exactly.
Rooster, okay. Let's take it there then. Tell us about the DNs, the offensive linemen. Who should we be looking at?
Well, I did go to the combine and I've been paying attention to this a fair amount. I would say that the offensive linemen who are pretty much seen as the top, let's say five, are in no specific order: Joe Alt of Notre Dame, Troy Fautana of Washington, Olu Fashanu of Penn State, J.C. Latham of Alabama, and this guy Talis Fuaga, who came on late from Oregon State. That guy's an animal. Whoever gets him is going to have a brawler for an offensive lineman, and he may turn out to be the best of all of them. But I really think that the first team to pick is going to be the Titans at seven, who needs a lineman. I don't think the Giants are taking a lineman again. Everyone has them taking Joe Alt. I'm not sure Joe Alt is the number one of that crew, but that's who they have him going to. He'd be paired with Peter Skoronski on the other side. So you're going to have two bookend offensive tackles. It's going to be pretty good offensive line for Levis and throwing to D-Hop and Ridley. The Titans could really turn it around offensively next year. Next up is going to be the Jets. And you know what? Leave it to the Jets to fuck this up and take Brock Bowers, which they probably will do. Yes. And then their old man quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to last another four plays before he gets killed, but they're stuck with no quarterback.
But that's an interesting point though, Rooster, because Bowers, by some accounts, is the best player in the draft.
But he's not going to be able to block anyone, and you've invested all this money in Aaron Rodgers, and it was a jailbreak for the first four plays last season, and they couldn't keep anyone off of him.
Well, that's
they need offensive tackles so badly that it would be GM malpractice to draft anything other than an offensive tackle by the Jets. They should take Fashanu or Fahatanu. End of story. If they don't do that, that's why they're the Jets. Next up is going to be the Chargers. If they trade down to 11, I still think if they trade down to 11, they're going to get one of those guys, including J.C. Latham. And then the Saints at 14 and the Bengals at 18. The same thing I said about the Chargers. You can't have Joe Cool as your quarterback and not beef up that offensive line. I mean, you just too much invested in him and his injuries have been too bad. You have to, if they could get Talese Fuaga at 18, that's a steal. And they could even plug him in at guard if they needed to. That, to me, that's the smartest move they can make. And then the final two teams I think absolutely have to take linemen are the Steelers and the Cowboys. Because Cowboys have lost so many good older offensive linemen, and you've got guys like Graham Barton from Duke, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, who's a 320-pound center, and Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, who's a 328-pound offensive tackle. I think down at that part of the draft, the Cowboys will wind up with one of those guys. I predict.
Did you mention Amarius Mims yet? From Georgia, he's another guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude, and they mock draft him. And
Cowboy mock draft. I've seen have him going there.
Yeah,
that. So what I'm hearing you say is right that the Cowboys will take a running back.
Yes,
they're aren't they in talks to take your man back?
Oh yeah, they're going to bring Zeke back. That seems smart. Did they already do that?
No,
he's lobbying for it. He's lobbying for it.
I think it's happening. How?
Yeah.
Have we even mentioned a running back yet?
No. Well, talk to us about cornerbacks and other, which I guess gets running back now.
Well, let me just answer Pope right there, because until you get to really around the 50th best player in the draft, you don't even think about a running back in this year's draft. This is probably the weakest crop of running backs. It's just not something you're going to hear about for sure on day one, maybe not even on day two. Jonathan Brooks from Texas is a guy who's a pounder, a good running back. I don't think he's going to be a guy that anyone's going to see as a rookie back getting 15, 20 carries. So running backs, there's just not a focus of this draft.
Which is interesting, because the new paradigm in the NFL now is draft a good running back as a rookie, pay him his rookie contract, and then let him go and go get another one. So what are teams going to do now?
Well,
you could draft him in the third round.
Pope, it's a good point, but as it relates to cap management and dealing with salaries, but this is a passing league. And because it's a passing league, this is a dream year to cover those wide receivers. You're going to see maybe five or six cornerbacks taken in the first round. You're going to probably see two taken in the top 10, 12 picks. This is a dream draft for cornerbacks, led by one of Pope's guys, Terrion Arnold, who Pope would probably be able to tell you a lot more than I can about Arnold, because I've not seen him nearly as much, but this guy plays like Jalen Johnson's a superstar on the Chicago Bears. He's a true number one quarterback. He's cornerback. He plays with attitude. He's a great cover corner. He's going to be a top 10 pick.
And Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's probably the number one name that's come out of the draft. I mean, if you can't have a Kool-Aid McKinstry on your team, I said, don't take best available or need, just best name. Name. And
name.
I love that.
Kool-Aid will probably go at the end of the first round. I think there's a big drop off between Terry and Arnold.
Which means he'll go to a good fucking team.
He will. That's very true. Quinyon Mitchell is a cornerback that played on Toledo. Watch in the draft people climb up to get Quinyon Mitchell. They have loved him in postseason stuff, combines, the senior, the postseason games, his tape. Quinyon Mitchell, 6'195" stud.
I think you're just making players up now. I don't even think there's such a person as Quinlon Mitchell. I think you're making fucking guys up, and nobody's going to know any of these names.
He's a real guy. But here's the name to watch out for. We know that Cooper Kupp on the Rams and what he's done to that position, kind of unexpectedly. You don't see a lot of small-ish white receivers take over. Well, there's another Cooper in this draft named Cooper DeJean. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, whether he goes by DeJean or DeJean, but Cooper DeJean from the Iowa Hawkeyes is a guy that will play every part of the secondary, cornerback, safety, nickelback. He's also a very good kick returner. He's literally one of the best defensive backs in the draft, but he's probably going to go late first round. But I think over time, he is going to be a player that we're going to be talking about for a long time. And I think part of the reason why he's not going to be drafted higher is because people aren't going to trust the fact that you can take a white cornerback high up in the draft. But he's a special player. Beyond cornerbacks, you guys have already talked a lot about Brock Bowers. My question to you guys is, knowing what you know now, how high would you take a player like a George Kittle? Because that's the comp for this guy, Brock Bowers. And in today's passing game in the NFL, it's all about mismatches. I think what we saw in the Super Bowl last year were two teams that capitalized on mismatches. You know, the Chiefs and their whole very inventive offense, and the 49ers and their inventive offense create all kinds of mismatch problems for defenses. That's what Brock Bowers adds to. So the question is, do you guys, if you knew you could get a George Kittle, how high would you take a George Kittle? Is it worth using a top 10 pick on a tight end? Is a tight end that important? The Falcons did it a couple years ago in Kyle Pitts, and I think because of poor coaching, we haven't seen the full ceiling of Kyle Pitts yet. But I think we will. I think we will. So, that's the everything else group of running backs, tight ends, and cornerbacks.
You take them if you have the Jets pick.
By the way, do you still want to cover edge rushers, Bison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Because the news today from ESPN is that the league is thinking about a severe sanction against the Falcons for interfering with Kirk Cousins' contract with the Vikings. If it's by severe, if they mean taking away their number one draft pick, they're screwed because they need an edge rusher desperately. They haven't had a pass rusher.
That would be beyond severe.
Yes. First round seems high.
Yeah.
I think it would be huge. It would be huge. It's not like they had the guy out on their yacht or anything.
Well, let's get us through the edge rushers. So
I think the Falcons at 8 are going to take the first edge rusher if they are able to hold on to that pick. There's a lot of talk about them taking Dallas Turner from Alabama.
Roll Tide.
I really like Jared Verse from Florida State. Milk, you like that guy, right?
Yeah, he's good.
He's a beast. He is a beast.
You respect him. You don't have to like him.
Yeah, I don't like him.
There's some like talk about Byron Murphy. He's an interior defensive lineman, but he's sort of maybe the next Darnold. They've got to take somebody, though, to put pressure on the quarterback. The next one up would be the Rams at 19. They need a pass rush to replace what they're losing from retirement. They would take one of those guys who's not picked by the Falcons. There's some talk about maybe Latu from UCLA staying in California and playing for the Rams. I don't think he's the second best edge rusher. I think he's a little slight. He's not as fast as you think. He's slower than some of these other guys. And then Chop Robinson's another guy who maybe goes to the Bucks.
Tampa.
Could go to the Bucks. Right, you guys need some pass rush.
Desperately.
I'll tell you what, though. Remember I was gushing about Braden Fisk from Florida State? He will maybe goes in the late second or third round, but whoever gets that guy is going to wind up with somebody like Max Crosby eventually.
Wow.
For the Raiders.
Some comp.
High motor, fast. He weighs 298, 6'5", and ran a 4.78 40 and hustled throughout every combine drill that I watched. Like, he just didn't have a slow speed, you know, like Pete Rose running the bases in the All-Star game. That's Braden Fisk. Whoever gets that guy is, you mark my words, he's going to be a surprise, second, third round pick who later on in the redraft, they'll be thinking, wow, I should have gone late first round.
All right. Hey, Moose Jaw, tell us, who's going to be the first goalie off the board?
CFL draft.
The
CFL draft goes in about 2 weeks.
All right, we'll have you back on to cover that, then we'll never publish it. But all right, does anybody have a punch?
Pretend pod. Don't call it a
comeback. Who's got people a punch?
Yeah, there are punches. Who's got a punch?
I'll give you a punch.
Go ahead.
All right, let's punch the guys who finished the Beijing half marathon. So you got
Lord.
Oh my God.
Another running segment.
As a runner, he's just outraged.
PG.
He's so upset.
This is, you don't break the code this way. All runners know this stuff. You got the top
now he knows the code
of the Beijing half marathon. They were all stripped of their medals and disqualified because the three guys from Africa who were leading the whole thing ushered in the Chinese guy to win it. They just dropped off and they let him go through and they let PG crossed the finish line in an hour 3:44. Now, the story is a little more complicated than that because allegedly these guys were just pace runners out there, but they weren't reported that they were going to be pace runners. So it's all very confusing. But what we know is that PG was stripped of his title for winning it, and he is going to have to look forward to the Summer Olympics. He is actually quite the runner. But come on, guys, don't throw the fucking race. That's pathetic. You get a punch. All four of them punched. Punch, punch, punch. Who else has got a punch?
I've got one. And you guys aren't even going to believe who I'm punching. But I'm punching whoever from the Yankees management was in charge of the John Sterling retirement ceremony. John Sterling, as you all know, has been the announcer. The radio announcer for the Yankees for at least 45 years and just a legend. And for his retirement event at a game recently, they presented him with a television. That was it.
Well, it's a big TV.
Fucking
come on,
television.
Now. 83 inches.
$300 at Costco.
How many televisions do you think a guy like John Sterling already owns? I mean, he's a celebrity, for God's sake.
It was an LG.
Jesus.
Not even a watch. Embarrassing. They could have given him an Apple Watch.
Embarrassing. They should have given him like Babe Ruth's baseball glove or something.
Right. That is embarrassing. Jeez. Okay. All right. Any other punches?
I got one. The Colorado Rockies coach who decided it'd be a good idea to go into the cockpit of the United flight from Toronto to Colorado and videotape himself and post it.
While the pilots are violating all the FAA regulations, right, in the world.
That's everything.
Okay. We've literally redesigned cockpits to keep everybody but flight crew out of them, right? I mean, there's literally precautions in place. And these guys are like, come on in, bro.
Get a cocktail. Come on in.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's good. Come on, Moose. All right, you got a Who's got a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
I got a lasso.
Oh, good.
All right.
Take it over.
Aaron Presley, 10-year-old, and I can't believe it's from Philadelphia.
God, you're really going to do this?
Yeah.
Here we go.
You know. Just letting you know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think Toby will invite me back.
We're going to have a one-on-one pod, me and you, buddy.
This kid, first of all, this kid gets the foul ball, sees this 4 or 5-year-old girl crying because she wanted the ball, and good for him. He just gave her the ball. And I got to tell you, the most impressive part, his interview on TV that was posted online. This kid was amazing. You know what? I was more impressed with the interview that he did than him just giving up the ball. But that's a lasso. I'm sorry.
It's true. In related news, the Eagles fans pelted him with, I mean, the Philly fans pelted him with batteries for being soft and giving up the ball.
All right. You know what? I actually was going to be nice and not do a punch for the Knicks fans that were cheering Embiid when he got hurt. Now that you've gone there with the snowballs, listen. When you bring out the snowballs, I've always got something held reserved. Can I go on to my
snowballs laden with batteries?
If you want to punch the Knicks fans, you should punch them for chanting "We want Boston" after one freaking win. Jesus,
the very low IQ fan group. Anyway, I have a lasso. We're staying in Philadelphia. I don't know if you guys heard this story.
But you live there?
Pretty consistent with the character of Jalen Hurts. But one of the tough things for these kids, it used to be that it was no big deal to stay in school April, May, and June and didn't matter. But these days, particularly in the city schools in Philadelphia that do not have air conditioning, it is oppressive. It's bad enough to stay in school all the way into the summer months. And Jalen Hurts recognizes that's a real problem with learning. And so this past week, he provided the funding for 300 schools' air conditioning to a tune of $200,000. So these kids will be able to be in a climate-controlled classroom. I just think that's a class act. Very consistent with them. Gets my lasso for this week.
God, all right. That's cool.
He's really trying Golden not Peter. To get cut.
Who's got a buzzer beater?
I got a couple. So we haven't talked about the NBA, so we'll do it very quickly. Home teams 8-0. Can't remember the last time that happened in the first round. So, you know, maybe the seeding actually is going to matter this time. And the Thunder, House pointed out, extremely shaky. They almost lost. They had a 3-point shot survive last night. So I think that number one seed is looking a little problematic. And we'll see if the Mavs can make a series out of it tomorrow. My other buzzer beater is, and we talked about Nelly Korda in the beginning, and there's clearly she's the best golfer on the planet right now. 5 consecutive wins, 2 majors. But on a major heater right behind her is Dallas's own Scottie Scheffler. 40 consecutive rounds under par. First golfer since Tiger to win 4 out of 5, 5 consecutive top twos, 10th victory in 51 starts. The fastest, does anybody know who the fastest to 10 wins was?
Not Tiger.
David Duval. Took him 33 starts. People forget how dominant he was in the early days.
Yeah, he was. So,
yeah. Just unbelievable. It took Tiger 59 starts. And all of Scotty's wins have come since waste management in 2022. So it's quite a run that he's on.
Great job for Sleepy Scotty. It's awesome.
All right.
I've got
Rooster,
one.
You got a buzzer beater?
Yeah, I do. The Suns just got spanked by the T-Wolves, partly because they can't get a rebound. And I just think it's interesting that they actually missed DeAndre Ayton in that lineup. I thought that was a mistake to let him go. He doesn't need to be a superstar, but you have to get rebounds. And he had two games, not, you know, like 3-4 weeks ago, where he got like 35 points and 19 rebounds and 30 points and 19 rebounds. Suns are, I think, are ruining the day. They let Ayton walk.
Good one. Miller, you got one?
I got one because I've got one because I love when funny stuff happens to the Yankees. But apparently Boone got thrown out of the game today because the home umpire mistook a fan talking shit to him and thought it was Boone, but it was really a fan, and he threw Boone out of the game, which is awesome. So nice work to that. And then they end up losing. There.
Wow. Miller, you got one?
I don't.
All right. I'll wrap it up then with a buzzer. Nice moment at the end of the Chinese Grand Prix yesterday. I'm not sure if everybody saw it, but...
Is Chris getting paid by the Chinese right now?
I know. We're keeping it in China.
Is this a running or a car?
Joe Grandieu, the Chinese driver, racing in front of the hometown fans. It's the first time the race has been there since before COVID. And they actually had a placard out for him to stop his car, kind of like the 1-2-3 winners placards, which is a little weird. But Formula One clearly did this because they were ready with it for him to stop and take a bow in front of the hometown fans. And by all accounts, he's a pretty good guy, and everybody in the pit row likes him and kind of roots for him a little bit. And he was really emotional at the end, taking a bow in front of his fans. So I thought it was nice of F1 to let that happen, make it happen, and then just a good moment for him at the end of the race.
F1
certainly more interesting than who won the race.
F1 should let him win.
Yeah. So that's my buzzer beater.
Where did he finish?
Well, that's not important, Pope. Why do you have to ruin a good story? We talked about this. Formula One is our sport where it's more interesting for who doesn't win. Come on.
That's right.
All right, guys. Anyone got anything else? Moose, thanks for being here. Happy Passover, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.